Hey, Glenn, people were talking on our Facebook page. They saw your Bert's funeral on the TV. They're doing a running commentary.
Well, yeah, I was very honoured to be there. And a running commentary? What do you mean by
that? Yeah, they said, oh my God, he's talking to the King of Zing, Sam Pang.
The King of Zing, really?
That's what I call him, the
King
of Zing.
Well, he did zing me. He zinged me when I...
Did he? Yeah.
Because as I came in, I said hello and Sam always gives me a look. And then I said, note, I'm closer up the front than you are, so probably more important.
Yeah.
Then Sam said, no, I see it's more like the people who are more likely to die.
To die.
Yeah. So, again, you know, I had to let him have the win and move on, sit back down and go, he got me again. Damn it. Had nothing else, you know.
So the funeral was on in the morning.
Yep.
And then I rang you at like 2 o'clock and were you in a pub with Tony Martin and Rob Sitch or someone?
You said
you were in a pub.
No, I wasn't we were at Rob Sitch's place. They very kindly invited us back for a drink because surprisingly, when you go to a state funeral, No party pies.
What?
No chicken sandwiches, no hot tea from an urn, no standing around with people and making light conversation and having a laugh. No. State funeral, out the door you go.
That was it.
Because surely they would have a room there where they could have... I don't know how many people were there.
Hire a hall.
The state government's got halls coming out of there, you know.
The town hall's just up the road. Yeah, there's plenty of function rooms.
Just get a medium-sized function room. And a wake isn't a wake without a party pie or a
shit. And then that puts pressure on Rob and Jane. Did Jane bring out catering for you guys or?
Yeah, she did. She brought out party pies. Uh-huh. Hope she doesn't mind.
Oh wow!
I don't think she mind me saying brought out party pies and a platter of cheese and biscuits and you know.
Good thing about Jane is that she's written cookbooks and she's a very good cook.
Well,
so if you go back to her house, I'd be confident. You know what I mean? Like we're going to get something at this house.
Yeah.
But for example, though, if we went back to, I don't know, your house, what would we get at your house?
Maybe a jam fancy.
And you could make a coffee for everyone. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, can I just bring up the speed? I've had an incident re coffee. I'll just tell you very quickly. Had the tree man here yesterday. They talk about me and my coffee. I think I told the story once before where...
Just as a lot of observations, you have a lot of men coming over during the day.
And I get them to dress up.
It's like the village people. One day you got the bloke with the hard hat and the next day.
Well, and as I said, the first time they came around, I brought out a tray with the coffee and the biscuits on it and put a tea towel over the top so the flies wouldn't get in there. And I said to them, I should have put on a little outfit and just sort of, you know. And then they're quite attached to my coffee. So I go, they turn up yesterday and I go, guys, coffee, love one. Bang. I'm in my, you know, this is lobbing to them beforehand.
Put your penny on.
I look around and go, no sugar. Oh, no. No sugar. Where's
tradies
the sugar?
Love sugar.
Oh, tradies love sugar.
Three sugars, mate.
Yeah, because, and then I'm doing that thing where I'm looking in the cupboard and I can't see it. And I go up to Selena and say, where is it? She was, because it was early, she was sleeping. And she said, oh, it's there in the cupboard. And I go, it's not there. Had to get in the car.
Panic,
down to the shops, hope that the corner store has some sugar, because the corner store hasn't got that much. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have sugar.
Exactly.
Got the sugar, got back. Selena comes down, walks into the pantry and goes, bang, there it is. You know that thing where you look but you just don't see?
Yeah,
so we had it all along. Anyway, I took the coffees out and that was okay. And jam fancies. But then today, George turned up to finish the house because the house, remember last week,
the roof
was being done. He said, I'll come in the morning and I'm just going to finish it all off. And I go, great. Izzy walks in. I go, coffee? He goes, yeah. I'll have Americano, please. I go, oh, no.
What is that?
I don't know. I'll pressure again. What is he goes, just some black coffee with some water. Oh, yeah, but I don't know about the measurements and how much water.
Jesus.
Does the water go in first? Does it go in second? So I went, ran into the computer, put into YouTube, learned how to do it. And then, so it was a bit of water. And then I did two shots of coffee, two pods of coffee, and took it out. And I said, George, if it's no good, just throw it away. And I walked inside, but I stuck around and had a little look to see. Because if he took a sip and then he pulled a face, I know that.
Yeah.
But he took a sip and just went back to his phone. I'm going, the day is
good.
Job
done.
And George finished the finished the job, and he is a good man and very happy. Anyway, so yeah, Bert, I'll tell you this something very quickly. When you go to a funeral like that, you do have to go. You look around the room. There's a lot of obviously industry entertainment people there, and you do have to see backs of heads. So you got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that Pete Smith?
Is that Pete Smith? And I was in front of Robin Jane, and right in front of them was a dark-headed gentleman. And I'm looking, and I'm going, no, I can't tell.
Who is that?
That was Daryl Summers. I worked it out. I went, I reckon that's the back of Daryl's. Because you got to realize, TV people, you never, ever see the back of their head.
Yes.
I mean, actors you do, but not TV, not news people. You never. So you can't. It's very hard to recognize the back of it. Then there was another guy with a hat on.
Because the thing about Daryl is that he dyes his hair. So has he got black hair, black brown hair?
Well, you don't like to sit in judgment, but you do have a little, you do lean forward a bit and go
Chestnut brown. Yeah. Chestnut brown.
You know, but whatever makes it not hurting anybody by dyeing his hair.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've dyed my hair for roles and I quite enjoyed it, and then I thought I might keep doing that, and I thought I couldn't be bothered. So that was him. Then there was a guy with a hat on. I'm going, that's not Molly, is it? It's not Molly.
Oh, of course, the hat.
And it was Molly.
Molly, of course.
It was Molly. Then there was
an ostrich. Is that Aussie ostrich?
Oh, Dickie Knee was there. I saw the back of
Dickie Knee.
Yeah, Dickie Knee was there. And then I looked over, and because it was in Melbourne, I went, I reckon that's Peter Hitchener. And it was. So I'm good. I was doing pretty well.
Lovely guy.
Yeah. Peter Hitchener. Sam Pang.
Eddie McGuire? Eddie McGuire?
I didn't see Eddie. Eddie had to give a speech. You know how Sam zinged me? He zinged me. It was coming in.
Yeah.
I zinged him back.
Great. What'd you do?
So when they at part of a Catholic funeral, I guess you'd say, you've got to turn to the person next to you or behind you,
And say, peace be with you, or one of them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I turned around because Pang was behind me, as was Chrissy Swan and Brownie.
Was he kicking the seat?
No, he was two rows back. So right. I'm by myself. I turn around and I point and I say, you know, God be with you. And then they went, thank you. I said, no, not you. The guy behind you. I'm pointing to the guy behind you. Why would I point to you? So, you know, it came back around. I got to zing him back. And then we turned up to the to Rob's place. When I walked in, they all went, oh, that was a great moment anyway. So we all
made it. You nailed it. Yeah. And Bert would have appreciated that.
That's exactly right. Bert would be making little jokes in his mind throughout it, or even if you made a little joke, Bert would be the type of person to make a joke and enjoy it. So,
well, he loved mischief. That's the thing about Bert. He'd get up to mischief.
All the time. Way of
putting Bert's, bit of mischief with Bert.
I think if you saw it on TV, everyone spoke beautifully. The choir was magnificent. Everything about it was really, really good. I mean, the unfortunate thing, it was a horrible day. And you know what? Here's my theory.
Yeah.
Why haven't they refurbished? Why don't churches update a bit? I mean,
Bit of heating.
Oh. Why do you have to have concrete floors? I don't know. Why do you have to sit on hard wooden seats? I mean, pews. Why are we basing the furnishings of a church? What? How many centuries ago? I don't know.
16th, 15th century, yeah, probably.
About time. Yeah.
When peasants in those days were happy
to sit on a wooden bench, like that.
You'd but be out of the rain.
I mean, a pillow. I mean, why can't you go to the church and sit in a Jason recliner? Is that disrespectful?
Yeah. Banana lounge.
Why can't you sit in a banana lounge? Why can't you click back and just go? I'm comfy. And then look, and as I said before. You know, it's the getting up and the sitting down, As I've said before, do all your get-ups in the one go, do all your downs in the one go, and then we're done. But it's the getting up and the sitting down. There was applause after people spoke, which I thought was really good.
Oh, that was great. The showbiz.
You know, I whistled and I, you know, banged the pew, you know.
Yeah, so you're on next Pang.
Yeah.
You're going to follow Eddie McGuire. Good luck.
Anyway, Farley Bert Newton.
Yeah, what
a
legend.
And we wish all his family well, and Patty and everyone, and
Lauren and Matt.
We say farewell. Is that all we
Yes. Yeah. Let's have the music. I think there's the music. Oh, there we go.
to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, great to be here, and look, at my funeral, we'll organise a hall afterwards, and there'll be like a bucket of KFC for you guys.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And that's what they had at my dad's retirement party at the TAFE. They had a bucket of KFC.
And people would enjoy it, you know.
Enjoyed a bit of KFC.
Yeah,
well, we get two topics, and we've got to work out how they're connected. Should we get our topics? We might as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, what are they, Sam?
Roosters and earplugs.
Oh, well, I can see an instant connection already, but I'll say that later. Because roosters, man, have you ever had a rooster in your neighbourhood? Oh, that is.
Yeah, cock-a-doodle-doo.
What happens is when you buy chickens, this is because we had a rooster across the road. Like, I live in suburban Melbourne,
And
they bought some chickens, right? The kids wanted chickens, but they couldn't work out whether they were boys or girl chickens.
Yeah,
and, of course, the boy turns into a rooster.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden at 4 a.m., it's like...
Yeah, and sometimes they're a bit out of whack, aren't they?
He was getting up early, this guy.
Because they are meant to go before sunrise, aren't they? Because they see this, they anticipate the sun rising to let.
I think
is it's kind of like a warning shot to any predatory animals or something.
Well, birds sing in the morning as a mating call, kind of thing. Some birds sing as a mating call. It's kind of I read about that once. Why do birds sing in the morning? And it's kind of like a mating call and also, yes, a security thing of this is where I am, I'm here, you know, that kind of thing apparently. So roosters, I didn't realise that. Oh, yeah, what? So they do it as a warning?
I think so. Yeah, and it's also to say these chickens here, I think, are protected by me. I'm cock of the walk. I'm the number one guy. You want to come in here? And it's been known that they've come in and the roosters will fight, you know, the foxes or whatever. But some of the hens will fall in behind the roost because the rooster is big and intimidating and he's got that, you know, because they have like at the shows that they have like rooster competitions and
fighting.
Stuff.
Well, they used to have. I mean, they have cockfighting illegally.
Yes.
You know, where you go to some, you know, shed beyond.
That doesn't happen in Australia.
Caroline Springs. Used to. Yeah, a bit of cockfighting. It's sort of famous, isn't it, for Thailand and places like that, cockfighting. People got arrested. I remember reading the paper years ago. People got arrested for it.
Just awful. And they put razor blades on their legs and stuff, don't they?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I remember on one of the shows the Working Dog guys did where they did a sketch about cockfighting. And they said we have footage. Illegal footage of cockfighting, you know, I think it was something like this. Please look away if you're going to be disturbed by this. And then they just cut to two guys and they're standing there with jeans on and they pull their flies down. And they
classic.
Start, yeah, classic comedy.
It's a pun.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, we don't eat roosters. You don't eat roosters
because they're a bit hard.
Yeah. So there's a great takeaway food place near me called Super Tasty Rooster, but we're not eating the rooster. It's like Red Rooster. It's a lie. You're not going to Red Rooster and having rooster. You're having a hen.
That's a very interesting. Next time you're in drive-through, I reckon you should make that debate. Can I just point out before you give
to the 15-year-old?
Yeah, this is actually for chicken. It should be chicken.
Red hen.
Yes. Yeah.
Red hen.
There are a few chicken shops that use hen in their title, but Red Rooster. What was that thing? Oh, it's so juvenile.
Get red rooster.
That's a great.
And Bill Tonike, the great comedian who became a teacher and a theatre performer. Remember Bill Tonike?
American Canadian. Yep.
Yeah, great guy. And he used to do the routine. I hate that ad. Red rooster. Until I went into the store and the girl said, may I help you?
Let's not make fun of people with stutters. But
well, this was 25 years ago, so maybe you could back then.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Things you could do. He
also did a routine about I live in the Dandenong, so that's sort of a bit hippie. And he goes, yeah, the people next door have got kids called Buttercup and Flower. They got a bit more cynical for their third one. He's called Shithead. So I still remember his jokes. They're good.
So
anyway, roosters.
They are the fertilizer. They are the
Oh yeah, they're the king of the hen house.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you want a rooster in the hen house? Because I assume chickens are laying eggs because they're not pregnant. Is that how it works? Like, you don't want the egg.
You don't want it to be a bird in there. You want it just to be an egg. So they're.
How is it sometimes when you get an egg and there's a little bit of a thing in there,
a little bit of
red or yeah. Oh.
What do you do? You scoop it out, or do you?
I probably scoop it out. I think it's a bit hard to throw it out.
Isn't it as hard when you put an egg in there, and then like let's just say you get a bit of shell in the bowl?
Oh, hard to get the shell out.
You're chasing it around, aren't you? and then you try to bring it up, and it goes, just gets pulled back in again. You know, you can be there for half an hour doing that. It's really annoying.
I like it. I've come around to eggs. I was not a big egg fan, but I've been having omelets lately at lunch. Just cooking an omelet.
See, if you cook an omelet, you got it. Are you putting something in the middle and then flopping it over?
Yeah, I put tomatoes and mushrooms and a bit of cheese.
See, it doesn't get much better than that, really, does it?
Oh, omelet is, I reckon, the best way to have an egg. Even though boiled egg, I like a boiled egg.
I like all of them. I had some scrambled on the weekend. It was just folded beautifully.
Nice.
I love a poached. You know the poached egg. You know the trick
great.
To poached, don't you? You've got to spin the water.
Spin the water.
Yeah, and put the egg in the middle, and so I just. But I think they prepare them earlier if you go to a restaurant. They're all
well, and there's a lot of butter and cream in there if you're going getting scrambled egg at a restaurant.
If I'm in a hurry, I'll do it in the microwave. Just put it in a bowl. Put a lid on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 33 seconds. There you go. Glenn's eggs. 33 seconds. Maybe 32 seconds if you want it to be a little bit runny.
You know, I don't have a microwave. I don't have one.
Oh, and yeah. What are you, a hippie? What are you? Seriously.
Well, jury's still out. That's what I can say.
Stand too close to a microwave and
your chocolate bar will melt. Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
That's how the guy invented microwaves. He was working in a radioactive lab or something, and he had a chocolate bar in his pocket, and he was doing an experiment and started to melt. That's how he invented them. Yeah.
He had a half bar in his pocket and it started to melt. Sorry.
We're back to cockfighting. Anyway, whatever.
Now, are there any famous roosters?
Yeah.
There's the football team called the Roosters, isn't there?
Yeah, in the NRL, the Roosters.
And is there not one from...
Is that Russell Crowe's team? Rabbitohs. Is he Rabbitohs?
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
He's Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs.
Hello to Russell, if you're listening.
Russell, probably big fan.
Yeah.
What about Foghorn Leghorn?
Your mouths are flapping, but there ain't no noise coming out. That's right. Yeah.
And I heard someone talking about him on the radio the other day, and he was based on a Southern senator. Which I didn't know.
I thought he might have been based on, what's his name, that American one-liner comedian, but it wouldn't be. He would be too young.
I know who you mean. That's a noble moment. Hang on. Hello, it's Ross. Not Rodney Dangerfield.
It is Rodney Dangerfield. That's who I was thinking of. Yes. Yeah, well done. Are you thinking there's another one?
I was talking to my this guy's doing a bit of work, and he loves Rodney Dangerfield. And I said, "Oh, I'll give you some Rodney Dangerfield lines. I remember them. Meet my wife; she gives good headache. It's, when I die, I'm going to donate my body to science fiction."
What is it? Yeah, I can't do it. I don't do it justice. But my wife, she likes to talk during sex. I have to ring her up or something like that.
Fantastic.
So, Falkland, that wouldn't be bad thinking music. As would
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, a little bit of Foghorn Leghorn, because he used to sing that Captain sing this song.
Doodah.
And that would be, he'd always be smacking somebody or whacking somebody because he ruled the roost, you know. That was back at Warner Brothers cartoons, I think.
It wasn't a Hanna-Barbera. It wasn't like Top Cat or Yogi Bear. It was definitely Warner Brothers, the classic.
Yeah.
The classic.
And I'll tell you what else. I'm born in the year of the rooster.
Oh. I'm the year of the snake.
What is this? Snake, ox, rabbit, dragon, horse. Yep, I'm a rooster, which is, I guess, you know, I scratch around.
Yeah, you know, you're the king of your cock pen there with your bloody George coming over.
With my George up on the roof, and I got the tree man here. I'm strutting around out there.
You're scraping your...
flicking the dirt around and doing my shoulder movements like Kath did in Kath and Kim when some mum said, remember that in Kath and Kim when she said, you're looking a bit chooky? What do you mean? I'm looking at
that
the
was
chooky?
Funny.
And she did
that
a chuckle. Funny. Oh, very funny, hilarious.
It's on Netflix, and my daughter still has been watching it over and over.
Yeah, it is. So it is easy to watch.
It's on there.
I can say
it's
that
on there.
I didn't write it or produce it. Is that enough about?
Yeah, let's do earplugs. Are you? I reckon you'd be a fan of earplugs.
Well, yeah. I was getting ready for bed the other night, and this is really embarrassing. But I'm going to take you through. What
we're talking about earplugs, not other plugs. What are you saying? What are we saying?
This is embarrassing, but this is true. When I go to bed, I put in one earplug, right?
Wow.
And then I put in a radio in the other ear.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can listen to, you know, because I like to keep on in touch with things, a bit of talk back or whatever, a bit of music, a bit of classical. Then I put on an eye patch. Because our room isn't very gets quite light
oh my
in
God.
The morning, and then I tape my mouth closed. So isn't that tragic?
Oh my God, you're like a serial killer.
Exactly.
You tape your mouth closed.
Yeah. I've told you that,
wow.
haven't I?
Yeah, you have about taping. Yeah,
because
yeah,
if you breathe
yeah.
through your nose, you get the air is cleaner and nitric oxide, and you stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system by
what
breathing
is Selena?
Through your nose.
Think about sleeping next to Silence of the Lambs every night.
Exactly, Silence of the Lambs. I go, okay, I'm set. Plugs are in, things are in, radio's going. She goes, oh, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? And I go, the weather tomorrow is going to be not right.
Well, I can't talk. I've got a sleeping mask on. So then, yeah, Kieran often talks to me. I'm like, I'm like the other Silence of the Lambs.
We are painting very sexy. We're a couple of sexy guys. It's weird. But I know when I put my earplugs in, your body goes, ah, it's sleep time.
Really?
Yeah. It just goes, oh, I get it. I know what's going on. And I've got the, are they rubber? Spongy ones where you have to roll them up. Push them in hard, and then they expand when they're in there.
Oh,
lock it in, Eddie.
Like my mask is like a trigger. It's like
yeah.
What is it? Like Pavlov's dog. You know, yeah. This is what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
You're going to sleep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And here's the two things I've slept through, because I've had earplugs in. That we had a windstorm in Melbourne a few weeks ago.
Oh, huge! My back gate flew off.
Yeah, I slept through it. Completely did not
really?
Know a thing. Didn't know a thing. Woke up, got text saying, oh, my God, what's going on? Is the world ending? What's happening? And then in the other house we're in, I slept through the fire brigade turning up to next door because the next door had caught on fire, and I slept through it.
Wow.
Got the plugs in.
You're a deep sleeper, that must be.
Well, if I wear the double whammies, I go down, I go down pretty hard.
You remind me of when we went on a scout camp and my dad was the leader and there was a flood during the night in Coldstream, which is one of the coldest places in Victoria, and the tents flooded and one of the scouts was missing, Bruce Millward, and Dad found him asleep on his lilo floating in the creek.
Oh, fantastic. Asleep on his lilo.
Asleep.
Now, hang on. So what happened? The rain came through the tent and he floated away? Or
he floated away.
He didn't sleepwalk and do that.
No, he floated away because there was a lot of rain in the tent.
It's amazing what deep sleeps can do. Yeah. We had a friend of ours, and we went and stayed up in Ballarat with him, and me and my mate, and he was a local from there, and we slept in their rotunda, and the rotunda had all these spooky pictures on the walls of people, with guns and, that old-time faded, sepia pictures on the wall, or portraits and stuff. And it was dark and it was cold, and then in the middle of the night, we got scared. My mate and I mean, it must have been about, I don't know, 15 or 16. Mm. So I wake my mate up, Bruce, and we go to wake up my other mate, Brian, and we pick him up. We literally pick him up and shake him, and he didn't wake up. He did not wake up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He didn't wake up, and it was like he was dead. And then I told you the story. I told it before in this podcast when I was at Scouts for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Wilson, he was snoring next to me. I tried to pull his leg out. I pulled his arm out. I pulled his teddy off him. I pulled him out of his camp stretcher onto the floor, only to realize it was the guy next to him snoring. God. Anyway, here's a tip for you, and I know that you're a big guy for getting into the surf, and this is a tip for nothing. I went to a party, and I said to a guy, what do you do? It was a barbecue, actually. And We're out the back, and I said, what do you do? He goes, I'm an ear, nose, and throat guy. I said, oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and I said to him, oh, well, I wear earplugs for my – because, you know, he would love talking about this stuff at a barbecue, wouldn't he? Okay, this is interesting. I wear earplugs for when I go surfing. I wear those silicone ones. And he goes, don't ever wear the silicone ones.
Why?
Because what happens if a little bit breaks off, it can go into the canal and they can't get it out. The only way they can get it out is to put you under and do a full-on operation to get it out. They just can't get it out. So the silicone stuff breaks off and it goes in and you can't get any purchase on it. You can't – you just – you know. So, I mean, it's a delicate – you have to question putting anything in your ears anyway. It's such a delicate instrument. Yes. Say don't – earbuds, stuff like that, just don't use them. But, yeah, those silicone ones, I mean, if you're the producer of those, I'm sorry, but this is what an ear, nose, and throat guy told me. I mean, they are great because you can really fashion them into the shape of the ear and push them in hard, and they really do keep the water out. But they're too dangerous.
Don't use them. Isn't it annoying for a doctor to specialize in ear, throats, and nose and throat?
But connected up. It's all on the same map of the street directory.
I understand why they specialize because they're like, I can't know the whole body. I can't know feet to brain. I'm just going to do ears. Well, you got to do the nose and throat as well. Oh, Jesus
all
Christ.
Right. See, you can make up your mind. All right. Yeah. Yeah. What do you do? I'm a proctologist. Oh, that's not fair. You've just got one hole to worry about. I've got three holes to worry about.
It should be proctologist, ball bag.
Yeah. And we'll throw in vagina. He could do both, you know.
Yeah, come on, mate. Well, yeah. You know, just the proctologist.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, seriously, it's a pretty simple bit of plumbing. We all know what's going on. You're not, you know, when you look down there, you're not going to see any, you know what's already down there. Me, it's not right. I look in, I've got this whole network of stuff going on.
Anyway. Yeah, an ear compared to that area, much more complicated.
Yeah.
Much more complicated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've got swimmer's ear. Bragging now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because so I have to wear earplugs because the cold water goes in and you get a bone buildup. And the bone builds up to try to protect the ear because there's so much cold wind going in and cold water going in. It just goes, I can't cope with this. I'm going to build up some bone. So it builds it up in it like a little wall of a dam. So what happens is the water goes in, it goes behind the dam and stays in there. And then that water then becomes... it gets infected because it's in a warm hole. Hello, good morning, everybody.
But is there no better feeling though when you go swimming and the water comes out of your ear?
Yeah, Well, best. I use a product called Aqua Ear, which has got a little that dries it out. But if it gets really bad, they've got to go in and drill it out. You've got to go in there. With a Ryobi ear
drill.
Yep, and get it out.
Have you had that procedure?
No, but lots of other surfers I know have said, and it's incredible. Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the pain of that? God,
I haven't had that, but I've had my ears cleaned out, which was whoa. They make you lie on your side, and they put this liquid, and the woman goes, "It will feel a bit weird."
Yeah,
and it's like a trip. It's like, oh.
Because it goes right inside you.
Oh, and it affects your balance. It affects your balance.
Because there's a little thing in there. I don't know what it's called, but some people are having trouble with their balance, and you go to a specific doctor, I guess, an ear, nose, and throat guy, and he gets you to tilt your head in this formula, and the room apparently just spins because it throws it right out. But then when that's over, you're fine again. But it's kind of you know, I don't know.
It's pretty full on. It's pretty full on.
It's very full
on. Well, should we have some thinking music then? Bring in a bit of Foghorn Leghorn.
I love Foghorn Leghorn, but I also want to hear, I really want to hear.
Get ready. Australia, your chicken is ready. Australia,
ready.
It's waiting for you.
Can we do it first? Australia. Do you think Sam will mind? She wouldn't be too busy at the moment, would she? Would we be able to hear a little bit of Foghorn Leghorn and then gently dissolve into the final few
The chorus
of Red Rooster.
Australia. Your chicken is ready. Was that in the Red Rooster ad, was it, that ad? I thought it was just like, I suppose it was, wasn't it? Your chicken is ready.
Red.
Anyway, we'll see.
Whatever Sam comes up with.
It'll be fantastic.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Here we go.
Come on, and I'll show you how to set up this simple box trap. Well, there she is, boy, all set. Now, where did that bar go?
Your chicken is ready, Australia. Ready right now, Australia. Your chicken is ready.
Oh, wow. Both great.
You can't tell me. That's good for, because I think our older listeners would remember Foghorn. Our younger listeners won't. But it was good to hear, because that he was kind of almost like our Homer Simpson, wasn't he? That
yeah.
He was, you know, 4:30 after school, sit down and watch a bit of Bugs Bunny, Hanna-Barbera, you know.
Oh, great. Yogi Bear.
Yogi
Bear. Get your hands out of that picnic basket, boo-boo. Top Cat. Top Cat and the gang.
Gee, nothing better. And then we hear a little bit of Australia Chicken is ready. It's ready right now. You can't tell me you weren't singing along. Anyway, I think we both.
Well, I'll have a crack. And I just think, I thought straight away earplugs were invented because of roosters.
Yeah,
surely.
And what do you think? The Egyptians did it? Do you reckon the Egyptians have chickens?
Probably. I reckon they're one of the first domesticated animals, chickens. So I reckon they'd be up there with cats and dogs.
And they're, you know, they'd be hanging around the pyramids and stuff. The roosters probably went up on top of the pyramids. Just flew up there and went, you know. And then you go, oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, I'm going to say Romans. If you want to say Egyptians, I'll say Romans.
Okay, I'll go Egyptians. You go Romans.
Maybe the Greeks on top of the Acropolis. Tell that rooster to shut up.
So we've got it covered, I think. Okay, Sam, what is the answer?
When the animals open their beaks fully, their external auditory canals completely closed off. So basically, roosters have built-in earplugs.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
That annoys me. That annoys me.
Because we're suffering. We're suffering.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But you know what it's probably like? It's a bit like when you hold your nose and you blow and you can hear it, like, you know what I mean? You blow out.
Doing it now.
I'll do it now.
Yeah, right.
If you're at home, let's all do it together. I'm doing it now.
Okay. Hold my nose up.
The way it is, it works. That's what a chicken has, a rooster has in its ears. But I wonder if the other chickens have it. I wonder if only roosters have it.
You reckon? I reckon only roosters have it. I reckon only roosters.
So the poor old chickens.
They're selfish.
They're sitting there quietly on their eggs. And the rooster's going, oh, excuse me, I've got to get up. I've got to do a bit of they go, what, darling? I'm just going to, you know, do it every morning. And cock-a-doodle-doo.
So annoying.
One will do. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah, okay, we get it. We get it.
And then she'd
say, doesn't it annoy you? He goes, no. I can't hear anything.
Doesn't sound that loud to me.
No, that's why I go louder. It just feels weird anyway.
So the guy used to live next door, and he was a perennial drunk, and he called the cops one day because the neighbors were playing loud music, but it was actually his house. He was playing it.
We had the same thing happen when we were down at Phillip Island, and I've probably told this story, and my mate was sleeping in the cars, and my mate was in the front seat asleep, and I was in the back seat asleep, and then we just hear this horn going. It's just blaring, and we're going, who's beeping their horn at 3 o'clock in the morning? We both wake up, look around, it stops, and then it starts again. And what it was, when my mate was falling asleep and leaning on the horn, it was us the whole time. So that's what roosters are like. They're just, you know, they're beeping their own horn, and,
You're the roosters of Phillip Island.
Roosters
down there.
Of Phillip Island, yeah.
Looking for hens, they're probably not around, though,
so,
to be honest.
I know chicken's very big on my, you're a big chicken shop guy. I think you need to dip your lid and say a little thank you to all the roosters out there, all the chickens out there for the amount of time you've eaten chicken.
Exactly.
And the amount of times you've eaten eggs, you know.
That's true. They're given, and it looks painful to have an egg. So, yeah, thank you, chickens. You've given your life for us. Thank you.
And if you came back as a chicken.
Appreciate it.
Just say you came back as a chicken. Let's just say you got lost. You got out of the pen and you're in the middle of the bush nowhere somewhere. You'd always have something to eat. would they eat their own eggs? I guess they would, wouldn't they?
No, surely not. I don't know, but maybe. I don't know. I know foxes eat the eggs, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good thought, isn't it?
I feel like an egg right now.
Oh, yum.